The epistle reading for the third Sunday in Advent comes from James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Hail, Hosanna, David's son. Jesus, hear our supplication. Let thy kingdom, scepter, crown bring us blessing and salvation, that forever we may sing, "Hail, Hosanna to our King." Amen. Now, every year, there are many, and I do mean many, countless hours spent by people trying to figure out how to get the government to do what they want. And you know that this is what makes election year so fraught. And it matters so much because, to put the best construction on it, people want other people to be doing the right thing. And by the right thing, they mean that we want other people to be doing what they consider to be good and right. And we all know that the government can, in some way, use the force that it has to help with that. They want the government to shape society, and they know that by crafting and enforcing laws, government can encourage or restrict the actions of people. And when I am saying this, I'm not making the case that this is bad. That is actually what government is for. Governments are to enforce justice. Governments are to punish what is evil. They are to praise what is good. The problem, as Pastor Walther mentioned a few weeks ago when he was talking about justice, is the question of whose justice is going to be enforced. What is the justice that the government is going to use going to be grounded in? And that is not a new question. That is not a modern question. Obviously, it is modern in that it concerns us today because we have a government. But it was just as true in Jesus' day because they had a government. And this goes all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And it is also not new that people are concerned about what justice is based on, and the fact that in many times and places it is based on things besides what God has decreed that people should do, how God has made the world to work. It's not new either. You see, in our gospel reading this morning, it begins with the fact that John the Baptist is in prison. Why is he in prison? Well, John is there because he had called Herod out because Herod had taken another man's wife to be his own. Herod clearly thought that that should be in bounds, and John tells him, no, that is against the sixth commandment. So Herod has John arrested. He uses the force of the state to imprison John and thereby enforce a different justice than what God has told us in the sixth commandment. And so there you have John, a prophet and a preacher, getting mixed up in politics and ending up in jail for it. And when we hear that, there's a temptation, and the temptation is both for pastors and laity alike, a temptation to take that as the lesson to be learned, that pastors and churches should just stick to spiritual things and leave the political stuff outside of sermons and teaching, outside of church walls. The only problem with that, and it is a problem that comes up over and over again in Advent and Christmas and Epiphany readings, the only problem with that is that the Word of God is obviously so political. God clearly has an opinion, if you want to call it that, God has an opinion on the way that the world should be governed. He has an opinion on how people should act. He has a say in what is right or wrong, what is just or unjust. And the scriptures make it clear that God is the ruler. He is in charge. And that Jesus Christ is the judge. And that God's commands are exactly that. They are commands. They are authoritative statements about what people should or should not do. We heard it put another way last Wednesday night when we had Psalm 2 as the Old Testament reading. And toward the beginning of that psalm, it says, "The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" And there you have it. The kings and the rulers of the earth want to throw off the bonds, want to throw off the restraints and boundaries that God has placed upon all people. And it is not just for the psalmist's day. You know that this is true in our day as well. But you notice as we read that psalm that God doesn't leave them alone. God does not say, okay, I'll do the spiritual things. You guys do the political things. Now, the psalm goes on to say that God will respond by setting up his son in Zion, on his holy mountain. And he tells the son, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession." He's saying to the son, "Ask of me, I will give you all the states, all the nations, all the kingdoms to be under you." And so the psalmist ends the psalm with advice to politician, "O kings, be wise, serve the Lord with fear." Now, we have to see that as a political claim. We have to see throughout all of the scriptures that God's goal is not merely to reign in heaven. God is not merely about spiritual truths. And we also should not buy into the lie, no matter how much they say otherwise, we should not buy into the lie that the political rulers of today don't have spiritual things, don't have spiritual intentions in mind, because that is not true. When you're trying to define what is good, what is right, what is true, you are making spiritual statements. What is right, what is good, what is true, those get at the core of who we are and what we are to be doing. And as I said earlier, it is easy to take John the Baptist's fate and see that as a warning to stay away from interfering with the world and how it runs. But note in our gospel reading, Jesus does not fault John for getting involved with politics. He doesn't fault John for ending up in jail. No, Jesus sends those disciples of John back to John with good news. The question that John had sent them to ask Jesus was, are you the one? And Jesus' answer collects all of the good things that he has been doing and says, yes, I am. And blessed is the one who is not offended at me. Now it will become apparent as we read through the Gospels that there are many people who are offended at Jesus. In the end, Herod and Pilate and the rulers of the Jews will all line up against him. They will use the power of the state to arrest him and torture him and crucify him. And the good news, the gospel that John needed to hear and that the church needs to hear is not a way to fight back on the state's own terms, not a way to use the politicians' tricks against them. Jesus isn't raising an army to go toe-to-toe against Caesar or against any king or nation. The good news involves a different kingdom altogether. And the good news that we heard John the Baptist last week proclaiming was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And no, it is a kingdom. This is what I mean when I say it is political. It is not merely a spiritual truth or a teaching or something along those lines. No, the good news is that Jesus is the Christ. He is Lord. He is King. And his kingdom is like no other kingdom. And what he offers is beyond the power of any earthly kingdom. Jesus had told his own disciples back in chapter 10, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And this is in essence something that he is telling John the Baptist as well when he lets John sit in prison. Why not fear them? Because as he told them, I raise the dead. The answer that Jesus gives is resurrection and new life. The worst that the rulers of the earth can do, Jesus has a cure for. And as bad as they can be, as confused and misdirected and ineffective and incompetent as the governments and rulers of the earth can be, simply as wrong as they can go, the answer that God gives is sending his son to Zion. And that is the answer that the church has been repeating for thousands of years, ever since. Jesus is Lord. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Herod does have John in prison. He will soon have him killed. Yet even that will not stop the kingdom of heaven. And we will be assured of this when Jesus himself rises from the dead 3 days after the kingdom puts him to death. Everything they could throw at him, and yet he rises. And in Jesus we see God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, coming. And what this has to do with you, why it is good news for you, is that you have been brought into his kingdom. God has claimed you as his own. You have been granted citizenship in his kingdom. And you notice that we, in turn, pray for that kingdom to come more fully. On earth, here, just as it is in heaven. And so you can see already your prayer, the prayer that God gave us to speak, that prayer already mixes religion and politics. But it does so because we want a perfect king. We want a perfect ruler. We want a perfect government. And we want all of that devoid of all of the faults that we see in our own government, as well as any government, down throughout history. And that kingdom is coming. We are preparing yet again for the day when we get to sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Such sweet politics. Amen.